All right, we're back. Bill 2013, that was great. The conversation with John Schuck. In that conversation, we talked about the future of .NET and stuff like that. You know, what's .NET going to mean in 5 years, et cetera. We have Habib here, who's going to actually be doing a talk called The Future of .NET, right?
Exactly. It's actually called What's New in .NET Development.
Fair
enough. At 3:30 p.m.
Excellent.
This afternoon.
Awesome. So what's new in .NET development?
So I guess I want to start off by saying when I get the question of what is .NET, I want to clarify exactly what .NET first is.
Okay.
In a very simple terms, .NET is a runtime, a set of libraries, a set of languages, as well as a set of tools.
Okay.
So in today's presentation, I'm going to be talking about all those four areas. And in .NET 4.5.1, we focused on three areas specifically. We focused on developer productivity, we focused on application performance, and also we focused on continuous innovation, which is being able to essentially release .NET at a much faster frequency and cadence.
Nice. Excellent. So one question I have for you is, when you have the way I think about .NET, which may be wrong, is that you have a virtual machine, which has a lot of services involved, and does a fair amount of computation in addition to the computation your code's trying to do. And so that actually costs electrons. And so I know you guys are doing a lot of work on performance, but also power.
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Exactly. I think one of the things that's really interesting is that we are very close looking at different workloads. What I mean by that is if you look at the server workloads, it's very different than how, for example, users use devices today, right? So on the device, it's really important that we pay attention to things like battery life, and part of that includes how much computation are you doing on a device.
Sure.
So a great example here is Engine. So for those of you who might not be aware, Engine's basically our compiler that pre-compiles managed code into native code, which allows for a faster application startup time.
Great.
On the device, we are doing a ton of optimizations to make sure that Engine doesn't consume a lot of essentially CPU power, which in turn basically reduces your battery life.
Yeah.
So what you're going to be seeing going forward as far as .NET is concerned, us really focusing on what are the sort of workloads that people want to do on the cloud, on the device, and make sure that we optimize .NET for each one of those workloads.
Excellent. Now, on the phone, you have a cloud compiler service that generates MDIL, which is new in Windows Phone 8.
Great, yes.
And exactly. That's a great example of not jitting when you run your app.
Exactly, exactly. And this is actually a really interesting point. I'm glad you brought it up. When people ask me what's new in .NET,
yeah.
If you can imagine essentially, an iceberg, you know, you only see the tip of the iceberg, but underneath the covers, we do an incredible amount of optimizations that aren't visible to 99.9% of developers.
That's true.
And they don't need to know about it, but what they see is fast application, startup time, and much better servicing. And I'm okay with that it's not necessarily a brand new shiny feature, but it's an incredibly part of our fundamentals work that we do that essentially impacts the breadth of .NET across devices and services.
Awesome. So there are people that are curious, and we Tim Heuer couldn't answer this question yesterday afternoon, but Andre wants to know, can you use .NET 4.5.1 on Windows XP?
.NET 4.5.1 has exactly the same platform support as .NET 4.5,
okay.
Which is Vista. It is Windows 7 as well as Windows 8 and
cool.
8.1.
So there's your answer, Andre. Paul wants to know, what is the future plans for cross-platform .NET? And I know the Xamarin guys are wandering around here. They're doing some awesome work. So, I mean, what do you make of that?
I think that's a great question. If you look at .NET, which is a great platform to develop rich applications, we have great partners such as Xamarin with Mono and MonoTouch that are help us to really reach non-Microsoft devices such as Android and iPhone. And I think that is a partnership that we're going to continue look at and continue to develop going forward.
Excellent, man. Phil wants to know, what about extensibility in modern apps? Talking about allowing plugins in a sandbox way, reflection.admit, dynamic proxies, stuff that's currently not impossible in a Windows Store app.
Right. So if you look at the .NET profile for Windows Store applications, Windows Store applications have a set of, I guess, restrictions or a sandbox that you cannot do certain things in. And that is part of the, you know, being able to secure the user's privacy, being able to secure the user's data so that an application can't load some random DLL and suddenly be able to do bad things with your data and be able to perhaps reveal your privacy. And what we really care about is we want to make sure that we honor the user's privacy when it comes to data and so forth. So that sandbox is going to continue to exist, and we're going to look at ways to make it better going forward.
So Nikhil wants to know about combining .NET and Java. Will combining .NET and Java become more efficient and stable?
So as you know, that announcement was just made. Our team, the .NET team, is actually going through that process right now of really understanding the ins and outs. The honest answer is I don't know, but it's something that we can certainly look at going forward.
So, but when he talks about combining .NET and Java, what is he, like, what was the announcement? I must have been sleeping.
No, I'm sorry. This is the announcement that I was referring to was essentially a better support for Oracle databases in the Azure cloud. That was the only thing that I mentioned.
Oh, but so this is more of a
exactly strategic discussions as opposed to anything concrete.
That's not a technical question, brother.
Yes.
Will Raspberry Pi ever run .NET software natively?
This question is near and dear to my heart, and the reason is this. I am at heart a robotics geek, and I spend a tremendous amount of time thinking about robotics, thinking about devices, and the whole connecting devices to the cloud. At this point, we don't have any concrete plans for supporting .NET on Raspberry Pi, but would I want to have .NET that run on Raspberry Pi? I would love to have that happen one day, but there are no concrete plans right now. But I love your question, by the way.
Excellent. Right on, Daniel. Zippy V's back. My website hosting provider isn't keeping up with updating to the latest versions of .NET. How can I convince them to update their servers?
I have a great suggestion for you. My talk will be recorded this afternoon, and they will see all the great stuff that we're doing in .NET 4.5.1. So I would highly recommend you sending them a link of my talk. And if that doesn't convince them, I'll be more than happy to actually give them my email address.
Excellent.
So I can have a conversation with them.
Awesome. So Ken wants to know, is there life for VB.NET in future versions?
So I have to be honest with you. I am not an expert on languages, but one thing I can definitely tell you is the languages team is evolving the languages all at the same time, adding the same sort of capabilities and so forth.
Yep.
And so I don't see why that would diverge, but I don't have any definite answers.
Sure. And I mean, we just had Anders Halsberg on the set. And as you know, Anders owns C#. On all of our .NET programming languages actually roll under him now. And they're spending a lot of time on VB.NET. So if it's not going to die, if it's not going to live, then I don't know why they're writing a Roslyn compiler for it. How do you see the future of F# and .NET infrastructure?
This is very much related to the previous question, where when it comes to languages, it's all, you know, Anders and the managed languages team are a great candidate to answer the question. From what I know is we continue to evolve F#, and so I don't see why there would be a divergence going forward. There
Excellent. We have John asking, will .NET framework be obsolete with the WinRT and all the .NET-like APIs?
My definite answer would be no. And here's the reason why. WinRT provides an incredible set of functionalities. And people are writing amazing applications on WinRT. If you look at what we did in .NET 4.5, we provided a tremendous amount of functionality to interrupt with WinRT. In fact, we have a great deal of documentation and white papers that talks about how you use WinRT from .NET.
Sure.
So from my perspective, to some extent, you know, if someone, when .NET was introduced, someone said, is Win32 going, you know, going away or when there was a new framework? And
the answer
is no. They continue to operate. We continue to invest in the same amount as we've done always in the past. So the answer would definitely be no. We'll continue to work together.
So tell us more about OpenCV and .NET.
Ah, that's a good question. I don't actually know the answer to that, so sorry.
So yeah, tell us more. I wonder if there's any relationship between the two. Maybe you could let us know what you're really asking.
Yes.
.NET and Series from IBM. .NET on Series from IBM.
I'm sorry, I don't know what that means.
All right. So any news plans about .NET micro framework? So what is up with the micro framework anyway?
So the .NET micro framework, if I believe it was somewhere around May, we introduced Windows embedded, the latest version. And as part of that, we actually released a brand new version of .NET compact framework called .NET compact framework 3.1. The same team is also looking at, you know, how do we move .NET Compact Framework forward. Unfortunately, I don't know the specifics, but I know that there is a team working on it as we speak.
So what's the life expectancy of portable class libraries? Does it make sense to invest in writing common platform, non-specific code in portable class libraries? And what does future support look like?
We continue to 100% support and invest in PCL. In fact, if you look at our charter, you know, going forward, it's one of our core kind of parts of our strategy. Where, and this is one thing I really want to clarify. This is my personal view. I really think we need to graduate beyond using the word apps and talking about experiences. And the reason why I say that is this. You know, 5 years ago, I would tell my friend, "Hey, I'm gonna go home." And then open up my browser and go to www.netflix.com to watch a movie. Fast forward 5 years, we talk about watching the movie, and it's an experience. So if you and I are talking about the latest movie, I'm on my phone right now, adding it to my Netflix queue. I start watching the movie on the bus, on my tablet. Then I go home and continue watching that on my Xbox, right?
Okay.
Now, that was a set of applications, but it's really about the experience. And my humble opinion is, in the future, when someone talks about an application, I always ask them, let's talk about the experience, right? The experience is what's really important here, as opposed to an individual application. You know, in the past, the definition of application was an exe running on the box. Right now, it's really about an experience that expands multiple devices. And libraries is a important part of that.
Absolutely.
Experience.
Excellent answer, man. I agree 150%, because that really is what it is. It is all about experience. That's what an app is, a manifestation of experience coming out of the hardware.
Exactly. So that's why when someone talks about an app, I'm like, please be more specific. An app truly is an experience across multiple devices and services. There isn't a single app anymore like there was in the 80s and 90s.
Awesome, man. So Mika wants to know, any plans to integrate libuv, liblove, or libuv directly into .NET? I don't even know what that is.
I do not know what libuv is.
Is that, maybe it's a library that can alter UV radiation?
Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, a little bit more info, my bro. .NET takes a lot of space with the WinOS. Will there ever be a compressed or reduced versions for tablets and services?
So let me now talk a little bit about our, I think you had a question for Chu about, you know, where is the roadmap for .NET? Where is .NET going?
Yes.
I'm going to paint in very broad strokes where .NET is going to go. I look at four fundamental investment areas for .NET. The first one is devices. And again, this goes back to my discussion around optimizing for the workload. So I see us doing a lot more optimization of .NET on devices so that everything from battery life to size on disk to throughput and so forth is truly optimized for devices. Now let's talk about the second strategy, which is the cloud. I think .NET scales really well up on servers, right? But I believe we have a bunch of work to do to scale .NET out. Right, so if you have a workload that needs to scale out across hundreds, if not thousands of servers, I think we can do a tremendous amount of improvement there to scale .NET out across multiple server farms and so forth.
Okay.
The third part of the strategy is around enterprise. We know that our customers have a tremendous amount of investment in .NET. We speak to the Fortune 500. We speak to ISVs. We speak to folks on a daily basis about their investments. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that they can modernize their applications going forward. And I really want to emphasize the fact that for me, modernization does not mean a reset or it doesn't mean a rewrite, right? It means augmenting your existing applications. A great example here was this morning, Goog showed the Akshena. I think I'm spelling that, maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong, but they have this very beautiful rich WPF application that they use in the ops center.
Okay.
But they also have these accompanying Windows Store applications that actually run on the device itself. Now, they didn't go and abandon their WPF application to actually go and write the Windows Store applications.
Uh-huh.
It is an augmentation, and for me, that's what I mean about you really, in my humble opinion, we need to focus much more on experiences than applications, because ultimately, there will be multiple devices with multiple services going forward.
Excellent. This is kind of a funny question from Atif. Any plan to embed Objective-C in .NET in the near future?
Definite answer is no.
Yes. I would recommend, Atif, that you use Xamarin.
Right.
Which actually they have some really interesting
Excellent
tools
point.
Where they'll take Objective-C. So Objective-C, you have header files. They'll take header files, take the interface definitions. You run it through this tool called, I don't remember the name of it, and it'll generate a bunch of interface definitions and class definitions for .NET types.
Right.
And then, of course, you're going to have to do some work. But there's doesn't make sense to have Objective-C.NET. Theoretically, remember back in the day when everyone was writing some language .NET?
Right.
You could imagine that technically it's possible.
Technically.
But we're not going to do it.
We're not
right?
going to do it. And that's why I would say, we collaborate and rely on our great partners to make the cross-device experience happen.
Excellent, man. All right, so now we're getting some more information on that question that we didn't understand. John's saying that series mainframes from IBM, the servers used by most banks and big corporations, any plans to compete with Java there? So it goes back to the whole mainframe thing.
Okay.
Does .NET run on mainframes anywhere? Is that ever going to be in the playbook?
Well, so one thing is, this is a perhaps a little known fact, but there's COBOL.NET, for example. COBOL
yes.
is used very heavily in banking systems and mainframes. So
okay.
I would say, to a large extent, .NET already runs in mainframes and
so people are actually
systems.
Using COBOL.NET?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. It's mainframes aren't the most common development platform environment today, but people are using COBOL.NET.
Totally. Is it possible to run .NET Framework 4.5.1 on Linux? Where's Miguel, man?
Where's Miguel right now?
Hey, Miguel. All right on.
I would defer that question to
Xamarin,
Miguel
man,
and
or somebody else.
And our Xamarin partner.
We don't
exactly.
write for Linux.
We don't write for Linux. Yet.
It's possible using Xamarin
yes,
tooling.
Absolutely.
Probably. All right, so enough labs using native libraries like OpenCV requires doing a lot of work to get them compiling in C++ for WinRT. Since they demoed OpenCV today, I was hoping there would be a new wrapper for it. So basically, he's extending why he asked that question. But as you noticed enough, it was demoed in C++, right? Not C#. So OpenCV is a native library. It's a C++ library. But somebody theoretically could write a wrapper. They did it for DirectX.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
In fact, I've seen a couple of wrappers out there, not by Microsoft, but other
sure.
Third-party folks that already have it in there. So
you got it, man.
Perhaps type in opencv.net or something like that.
Yeah, you know what? I would be surprised if there wasn't one.
Right, that's a good point.
Frederick wants to know, will SIMD instructions ever be integrated to .NET framework as in mono.SIMD?
That is a great question, and I don't know the answer to the question. I'll have to follow up offline.
Excellent. So thanks for the question, Frederick. I'm surprised nobody asked about, so you know that in the demo today, they showed C++ AMP.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of .NET guys have said, hey, we don't have an AMP-like thing in our language. But of course, there is a wrapper that I think somebody wrote, and
right.
I believe it was Daniel the Moth.
Right,
Moth.
The Mothman.
I
yes.
believe he wrote a wrapper for you guys if you want to play around with interoperating
right.
with AMP from C#.
Mm-hmm.
Any plans on extending the capabilities of portable class libraries to include more common WinRT, WinPhone 8 endpoints, such as networking?
I would say at this point, anything's on the table. PCL remains a core part of our strategy going forward. So I don't have any different plans that I can share with you right now, but
uh-huh.
but I could see any of that being possible going forward.
Right on, man. Thanks for all the questions. Keep them coming. Bennett asks, what is the fourth area of...
.NET.
Yeah.
Thank you. I just completely...
We should read that. What is the fourth area of...
investment, I think, for .NET.
Somebody's playing with me, man. So you got the question.
So I mentioned, the strategy for .NET going forward is that we're going to focus on four core areas: devices, services, enterprise, and the fourth one's fundamentals. What I mean by that is there are certain areas such as the garbage collector,
sure,
JIT, reflection, and so forth that are bread and butter of .NET. I would consider .NET as world class when it comes to areas such as GC, JIT, and so forth. And we will continue to invest in those areas going forward and have essentially the best VM in the world. So that is something where I don't want to exclude innovations in those areas, and we're going to continue investing in that going forward. In fact, we have some of the world's best talent when it comes to GC, JIT on our team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have Patrick Dussault. I know your JIT, you've actually a lot of interesting improvements in your JIT in 4.5.
Right.
So rock and roll, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tristan wants to know, what about increased performance by allowing developers to switch off certain runtime safety? Typecast check, array bound check?
Okay. That's actually an interesting suggestion. I might take that back to the team and think about it. We haven't thought about this in any depth or in detail, but some that I can.
But the question I would ask is, it's an interesting point. Now, if you were able as a developer to say, go ahead and turn off all the things that make managed code safe,
right?
Type checking, array bounds checking, stuff like that, I would ask myself, why don't you just use C++?
Excellent point.
Something that you can cut yourself up with as much as you want, because that's the price you pay with the power that you're given. If performance is what you need, use a language and runtime that's designed for performance.
Right.
Don't try to change the guarantees of something like .NET, which gives you runtime protection.
Right.
Which you don't get anywhere else.
Right. I think that's an excellent point where Microsoft has this very unique ability where, depending on what you're trying to do, we have multiple offerings, right? Mm. HTML, JavaScript being one, and then C++ native, and of course .NET as well.
Sure. So we don't know what libuv is, my man.
Single-threaded.
Why don't you type back, Micah, and tell us what it is, because we have no idea. So Christoph asks, when I start my computer up again, which I'm not going to do, I can't really read the question, but there we go. What's the future look like for the RX framework? Aha. It was awesome stuff, but doesn't seem to be recognized as such. That's not true, my man. But so RX, Reactive Extensions for .NET, they originally came out for .NET.
Mm-hmm.
That was done by Eric Meyer and a bunch of other people that are no longer at the company.
Right.
But one of them is, actually. There actually still is an RX team. So one of the things that RX never managed to do was to embed itself into the BCL, into the framework itself, so that you would use reactive, when dealing with streams of events, you use RX. That's really what you use it for, programming streams of events.
Right, right.
So that's his question. Do you have any?
I'm going to have a different take on this.
Right.
And my point is this. If you remember at the beginning of our conversation, I talked about, in the simplest terms, .NET is made of a runtime, set of libraries, a set of languages, and tools, essentially. And so what we want to be able to do is, and RX is a great example. It's an amazing library, right? Mm-hmm. And I think going forward, one of the things that we want to do is, how do we allow the different parts of .NET to evolve at different paces? And the reason is, we want to allow developers to innovate at different paces. So if you look at the core runtimes, such as JIT, GC, and so forth like that, you want that to be extremely stable, right? You do not want to mess with that. But when it comes to libraries, why shouldn't I be able to essentially, let's say, keep my core runtime, but be able to get the latest version of RX and not have very close binding, so that essentially as soon as the latest and greatest thing comes out in RX, I can't have it anymore. So I think my answer there is, if you look at things like NuGet, and NuGet is essentially our package management system in Visual Studio, which is first class, and we provide first class support for it. in the future, I see NuGet being a great way for developers to get the latest and greatest when it comes to Microsoft release libraries. And in fact, one of the things that you're going to be seeing in my discussion and talk today is we're going to announce the fact that all the libraries that are going to be released by Microsoft are going to be curated through this beautiful channel through NuGet that you can download and update anytime that you want to. So I would say that RX, in my mind, is just the beginning of the innovation that we're going to do in libraries across Microsoft, and then we're going to continue having those innovations going
Excellent,
forward.
Excellent, man. Thanks for the question, and thanks for bringing up RX, man. We miss you, Eric. Eric's now doing renegade things elsewhere. Zippy V is back again. I find it difficult to write a WPF Windows Store app using the MVVM pattern. Are we going to see any improvements there?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is it that you find difficult? I'm curious what it means.
Hey, so let's do something new. We have 50 seconds here. He's asking you a question, Zippy. Why don't you answer it? So you know how to do it. Right under here, type in the answer. He's asking you, what do you mean? What's difficult? While he's doing that, I don't know if you know what the future of WCF is from Dick.
I don't have the exact details of the future of WCF, but I would say just like the other libraries on top of the core.NET, we're going to continue investing and innovating in WCF, WPF, and all the other libraries going forward as well.
Excellent. Well, Zippy, we're not going to make it because you're too slow. You can't type fast enough, dude. And we can't get to the rest of the questions. It's wonderful to have you on here and to have this conversation.
Thank you very much.
I think it's pretty clear that .NET's not dead, nor has it died. It's evolving nicely. Go see his talk.
3:30 p.m.
Rock and roll, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.